tide is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Winds of Change. I am Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. I greeted you with the words, Glory to Jesus Christ. For those of you who may remember me from time to time, I have sat in here and substituted for Father Anthony. It's been a while, though. Again, I am Father Thomas Loyam, a Byzantine Catholic priest, pastor of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois. And we greet each other in my church, which is one of the Eastern churches, one of the churches of the Eastern lung of the church, as St. John Paul II would say. The church breathes with both lungs, East and West. And I would say to Glory to Jesus Christ, you would respond back to me, Glory to Him forever. That's how we say hello in my church. We have other greetings too. One is coming up during Christmas time. We'll say Christ is born. And then the response will be glorify Him. And we have one for Easter, one for other times of the year. But the common one is Glory to Jesus Christ, Glory to Him forever. Speaking of Christmas, we are in the preparatory time for Christmas, and I mean the real preparatory time for the real Christmas, the real event. And during this time of Advent, now we call this in my particular church the Philip's Fast. It's named after St. Philip only because it happens to occur on the evening of the Feast of St. Philip. In other words, as he is celebrated on November 14th in the Byzantine liturgical calendar, the next day, the next day, November 15th, we begin the so-called Advent or Philip's Fast. And that's exactly what it is, a fast. This is a penitential period. And that's the same in the Western Lung of the Church, too, although sometimes it's not really given a whole lot of airtime, that part of it. There's a lot of talk of joy and joyful expectation, which, yeah, there is that. But the reason why you use purple in the church, in the Latin Rite Church, and we do also in the Eastern churches during this Advent time, is because it's a penitential color. In other words, we are preparing ourselves by cleaning house, cleaning our spiritual homes for the coming of a guest. Yes, it's not just about shopping and baking and partying. It's not even about just getting together. I mean, that's part of it, but those are more like the effects of the spinoffs, the accidents, as we might call it, in Thomistic thinking, St. Thomas. But the preparation really is for entering into a reality, an event that transforms us or should transform us, transform our lives, transform our homes, transform the world. Christ came to transform us. God came to dwell among us and infuse himself into us so that we would be filled, all creation would be filled with his presence. And that should give us the right view of all creation. Ever wonder why in manger scenes or in icons in the Nativity, why they're all full of all kinds of figures and things? Everything from nature, everything from creation, from heaven to earth, rocks and trees and animals and people, stars, angels. Do you ever notice that? It's because it's saying that the incarnation was complete. God entered totally into his own creation, all of it, and therefore raised its character, especially that of the human person. So in order to receive this coming of Christ, in order to enter into this mystery, this transformative mystery, we have to open ourselves up by scraping away a lot of the excess, This is a time when the world tells us to go into excess. Shop and shop and shop. I've been hearing about Black Friday for weeks now. In fact, some stores even created a Black Friday even before Black Friday. It's all about food and indulgence. No, it's not. It's about the opposite. It's about divesting ourselves of a lot of excess, of fasting. That's right. In my church, we fast on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. At the very least, no meat or dairy products Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 40 days until Christmas. And with fasting always also comes prayer, increased prayer. And all this leads to charity. Remember, that's the greatest virtue to become. It's all about love, becoming a person of love. But in order to do that, we have to, in a sense, break ourselves. Break away and remove a lot of the layers that are not our real self, our real charitable self, our real self that's open to the presence of God. And so during this season of Advent, or Philip's Fast in my church, I'm going to ask you and urge you really strongly, especially now in this day and age, our world needs this, our country needs this. We need to die to ourselves through saying no to ourselves, and fasting is one way to do that. If we can say no to our gut, our cravings, we can say no to just about anything. But it's not just on the physical level. The physical level is to prepare us to say no on the spiritual level. But with every no, there's also a yes to our true selves. In other words, we die to our false selves and rise to our true, authentic selves. This is called holiness, growth in holiness. And we are to become then people of greater charity. I mean, if this Christmas season doesn't somehow transform us, our households, our marriages, ourselves individually, if we're not better, more Christ-like, more holier, then what was the point of it? Just getting together and feeling good? Don't even use that word holiday. Holiday is it's a distortion of the word holy day. Holy day. Or to become holy. Not just holiday, holy day. Now I'm going to suggest something to you for your charity. I would like you to focus on something that I'm doing myself personally, urging many people to do, especially even at my parish. I want you to focus on people who are just like you and me, but it won't have Christmas like you and I will have Christmas. Maybe they'll even have a more real Christmas. But they won't have 99% of what you and I will experience in our culture as Christmas. What they will have is a lot of suffering. They'll be abstaining all right, not according to their own will either. They'll be fasting all right. They'll be missing a lot of things. I'm talking about the people whose numbers are many. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, but you don't hear anything about them. They are our persecuted brother and sister Christians in many parts of the world. And in particular, we're going to focus on the Middle East, on Syria and Iraq, and those refugees, and those people who overnight, or people like you and me, those of you who are listening, if you are in a career or profession, imagine your profession, your career. You're doing that each day like you are today, perhaps, as you're listening. And tomorrow, you're on the street with nothing. Everything's taken from you. Your kids were killed in front of you. Your wife was raped in front of you. Your home was taken away. Torturing, beaten, your church was destroyed. I can go on and on and on. This is the reality for many, many Christians. This is not just something in a news item or a movie that's so remote from us while we run around the shopping malls and indulge. This is the reality of much of Christianity in the world today. You see, the Christianity that we experience in our world, in our country, actually, is, in a sense, an unusual brand of Christianity. Because it hardly has a cross, and we've paid no price for it. Well, we will, but we really haven't. Other people are paying the supreme price. And we want to be mindful of them. Let's face it. Our eyes do turn towards that part of the world during Christmas time. Where was Bethlehem? Where did it happen? Where did God choose to come down on earth? He could have chose anywhere. Could have chose where this listening audience is. Could have chose my hometown of Cleveland, whatever. But he chose that part of the world that now knows so much strife, so much lack of peace, and so much persecution. In fact, Christians are just hemorrhaging out of that area that was originally theirs, the land of our Savior. I want to share with you just some of these facts. Some of the facts that have been compiled, especially by an organization called Aid to the Church in Need. Do you know that in Syria, for example, in Syria, the number of Christians has fallen to the point where they've lost 1.2 million Christians, or two-thirds of the Christian population in Syria within 5 years because of all the strife there. Within 5 years, two-thirds of Christians are gone. In Iraq, the figures for the Christian population showed a decline from 250,000 in mid-2015 to below 200,000 2 years later. In other words, 75,000 Christians have left Iraq just within the last 2 years. Now, some are going back to their areas, especially in the Nineveh Plains. That's where Mosul is. You may have heard that ISIS was finally driven out of a few places in Iraq. What they're going home to, I don't know. Homes in rubbles, churches destroyed, damaged, vandalized. But it is their home, and it's been their home for thousands of years. You have to remember that these places that we only hear about in the news in terms of terrorists and war and oil, a lot of these places are biblical lands, once mighty Christian centers, lands of the Old Testament of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses. They're not just irrelevant news items. They're significant places that people live for a thousand years and they've been cast out brutally. I'm going to just go through a number of these places in the world. As I mentioned, a good part of Christianity is under persecution. You know, there's more persecution now, more persecution of Christians now than ever before in history. You know, we associate the person of Christians with the Romans feeding the Christians to the lion in the arenas and the Colosseums. Yeah, that happened. There was a lot of death among Christians, but there's more in the last century, in modern times, there is more persecution. We know so well. It's practically household knowledge. Everybody knows about the persecution of Christians during the Roman Empire. Yet we have more going on now with all our means of communication, TV and everything. Everywhere we turn, there's some kind of a screen to look at. We have information coming into every orifice of our being. And yet we don't even know about the amount of persecution, the severity of it in our world today. I'm going to outline this for you when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loy, sitting in for Father Anthony Buss on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I am Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. We're talking about preparing for the coming of our Lord. I mean, really preparing for the real coming of our Lord. And you have to think of it that way. In the church, I don't know if you ever noticed, if you listen carefully to the way the church prays, especially during high holy days, we use the word today. We speak it in the presence. This is not a historical thing. This is not, you know, yeah, there's history to it, but this is not a historical event. It's an event that spans all time. So we enter into that through the church, as only we can do through the church, through its liturgy and its prayer. We enter into that event as though it's happening for the first and only time. Now, you should know that from Eucharist. When we receive Eucharist, celebrate the Mass, the liturgy, we don't sacrifice Jesus every time over and over again. It's an entrance into that one and only sacrament and sacrifice that spans all time. So we're entering into this mystery, and we're doing so by dying to ourselves, fasting, saying no to ourselves, to open ourselves up to an experience of the real mystery, the transformative experience. And we're focusing ultimately on others, on charity, on people who need us badly. And that's what I'm asking you to look at during this Christmas season. Adopt this cause of helping our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not going to be at shopping malls, not going to be gathering with sumptuous foods, a table laden with all kinds of treats. None of that's going to happen for them. They're going to be lucky to have heat and food, toilet paper. That's right, I'm talking about people just like you and me who are in this condition overnight, thanks to the persecution of Christians. You know, there are 13 countries that are persecuting Christians, at least 13, China, Egypt, Eritrea, India, Iran, Iraq, Nigeria, North Korea, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Syria, Turkey. 13 major countries where there's major persecution of Christians, and 12 out of those 13, it has gotten worse. Now, the one that hasn't gotten worse is because it can't get much worse. It's in Saudi Arabia, where our church, Christianity, is basically outlawed. You know, it's okay for them to come over here and build their mosques and so on. We allow that, yeah. It's not reciprocal. We can't go over, Christian can't go over there and build a church and pray. No. That's the truth. Now, there's persecution in this country, too. It's more of a white martyrdom, and it's ratcheting up little by little. It's going to get worse, maybe even blood martyrdom. So let's look at the people who are experiencing this and look at their example. And I have someone who knows a lot about that, who's done a lot for these people. She has given her life to these people. And this is what I'm asking you to do as well, to help these people. I want to welcome to Winds of Change today, Juliana Tomirazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. Juliana, welcome to Winds of Change.
Thank you, Father. It's an honor to be with you.
Yes, and Juliana, before we go any further, just so the audience realizes the caliber of person we have here with us today, you just received a very prestigious award. Tell us about that.
I didn't know you would announce it on the air, Father.
Oh, yes.
Many know Michelle Malkin from Fox News and from CRTV News, and she's a fierce individual,
yes,
fighting.
One of those little tiny fierce type of, you know.
Yes. She's yeah. Amazing. She's an amazing human being, amazing woman, strong. And she stands for the Constitution and Christian principles. And I was surprised a couple of weeks ago. I received a call from her staff telling me that I received her Bulldog Award, Michelle Malkin Investigates Bulldog Award. And I we just publicized it on our Facebook and our Twitter handle just a couple of days ago. But I didn't know you were going to announce it.
And what does that mean, a bulldog? You don't look like a bulldog to me.
I guess I'm fierce when it comes to this cause. I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of Pope Benedict. And when he was still a cardinal, Cardinal Ratzinger, they used to call him the Rottweiler of the Vatican. Yeah. And I still was at the time involved with this cause. And I remember I was self-proclaimed. I would call myself Rottweiler for the persecuted church. And now Michelle has officially initiated me as a bulldog. But, you know, all kidding aside, the persecution is extremely painful. You know, Father, we use that word here in the U.S. or in the West so nonchalant, in a nonchalant way.
Yes.
It is a serious, serious term that we should not mock at all, because martyrdom happens today,
yes.
The red martyrdom. And there are hundreds of thousands of people that have paid a heavy, heavy price for being Christian, from losing their lives, losing their women, their mothers, their sisters, their wives to sexual slavery because they were Christian, to really losing their dignity by being forced to live in tents and now in shipping containers that are really, really small. These people had homes just like you and I, had cars, had great jobs. They were honorable citizens of Iraq. And look at what they've been reduced to, all because they're Christian.
Yes. And whenever the ISIS, you know, the persecutors, say in this case, the Muslim extremist persecutors, there's other governments, and these other countries I mentioned that persecute as well. So there's governments that persecute, and there's also factions within countries. And the ISIS faction, as I understand it, they would come upon a Christian village in, say, Iraq or Syria or whatever, and they would give you three choices, right? You can convert, or you pay a very heavy tax. There's a word for this tax, isn't there?
It's called al-jizya.
Yes, it's a terrible tax levied just against Christians, or you die. You can be killed.
Yes, yes. And in many cases, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, did not give the option of jizya.
Hmm.
They said you either convert or you die. And those who were lucky, who were blessed, they were able to flee. To live in subhuman conditions.
Now, Juliana, I'm going to go through the three levels, physical, the psychological, and the spiritual suffering. Tell us some of the physical suffering, some of what they've actually done to these people, the churches, families, and so on.
So from a physical standpoint, what we witnessed when we were in Iraq and in Jordan, I go to the region a lot, we see that illness has erupted, especially cancer has just...
Cancer,
it's
really.
Been monumental among them. The numbers are just skyrocketing. Among children, it's leukemia or Hodgkin's lymphoma. Among men, it's colon cancer. Among women, it's breast cancer. And you can imagine, I mean, it's such a devastating illness for us here in the West. But at least we can go home to the safety of our home or be hospitalized in high-tech hospitals. But these people don't have a home. They don't have high-tech hospitals to go to. And in many, many cases, they don't even have the money to go through remission. So many of them die. Many of them die of regular, critical, but fairly simple diseases like high blood pressure or diabetes that can be controlled and managed. But because they don't have the money, they cannot afford the medication. From the other perspective, in many, many cases, they're malnourished because they don't have enough funding for food, for adequate food. From a mental standpoint, Father, many men, if we can separate or break the divide, the segments of people into three, men, women, and children, men have suffered greatly and they've fallen into depression because they weren't able to defend their families. They lost everything. The dignity that they've lost is just taking its toll. Children, unfortunately, are not being educated. When we were in Iraq, I saw young men of 13, 14 just hanging out, just hanging out, waiting for an opportunity either to work or just staying right in front of their refugee camps in northern Iraq. And then we have women. We have women who hold on to their faith. They hold on to their families. They hold on to their husbands that are slipping away in depression. They're trying to keep their kids joyous or, you know, in line. So that's really, it's taking its toll. And Father, I am a genocide victim, granddaughter of a genocide survivor, and also a great-granddaughter of martyrs of the great genocide of 1914 through 1918. 2/3 of the Assyrians were killed in the hands of Turks and Kurds, along with the Armenians and Greeks. So some of the pain has trickled down in our DNA. I think every Assyrian you speak to has a story to tell you about that. We all were affected. So this is going to be generational. This is going to be passed on in the next future. And then there's the spiritual. That will surprise you, Father. When we were there, many women that we spoke to and asked them, why did you not convert to Islam? They said, how dare you ask us this? Mm-hmm. Because we would die for Jesus, but we would not give up our faith. Mm-hmm. And they say, in many cases, our faith has grown stronger, which truly put me to shame as a Iranian-born Assyrian Christian who lives in this beautiful country. I asked myself, what would I do when that persecution knocks on my door in the United States of America?
Yes, and imagine for them to be able to see that and allow and be able to say through all their suffering that maybe God has a plan here. They did not lose their faith. It'd be so easy. I understand that there's many even Jewish people, for instance, because as a result of the Holocaust, they have lost their faith. Not everybody, of course, but many have because they looked at God and said, where were you when we needed you most? You know, it's hard for them to believe after seeing that. And we can understand that. We don't blame them. We understand. I can't imagine what it'd be like to have your wife raped in front of you, your children killed or beaten and tortured, and then you get killed after all that. I can't imagine the hardship these people have had, not even having such simple amenities, you know, toilet paper and, you know, medical attention and things that they need for their physical well-being. Psychological, spiritually, every level, the immense suffering, I just can't imagine it. And yet, it's understandable they could lose their faith. And for those that have kept it, what a witness. You know, like we say, God always works. He has his own ways, and he works good through bad. I mean, if nothing else, certainly, we don't know God's full plan. But certainly, look at the witness of these people, which is why, those of you who are listening here to Winds of Change, why we have Juliana here today, why I'm bringing this up in front of you today, especially as you're told to go out and shop and get frazzled and be anxious and be tired out and worn out doing everything but what this season's about. I'm putting before you another option, the option of understanding truly the mystery of Christ, and to understand that mystery at this time of year, during this approaching Christmas season, from these people who are experiencing Christ. In fact, Christ is their only experience, their only hope. They don't have the shopping malls and the richly laden tables and the family, everybody gathering around talking about nonsense and watching sports. They have nothing. They are happy if they have food or heat in a cargo bin. So this is why we're focusing today in Winds of Change on what this is really all about. And for people, the people are going to show us what Christmas, the Christ event, really is about. We're going to talk more about this with our guest, the Bulldog, Juliana Tamirazi from the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. And we're going to tell you how you can help these people. I'm Father Thomas Loy, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I am Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. And we're focusing on dying to ourselves and rising to others. That's what this is all about. That's what the Christ event is all about. That's what Christmas is. It's the Christ event. Sorry, but it's not shopping, eating. It's not even getting together. All that is okay. But those are the spin-offs of the real thing. This is Winds of Change, okay? Let's blow some change in here and change how we celebrate. For once, can we change how we observe Christmas? Do we really understand what it is? And focus on people who are really hurting, who need our love and our prayers. These are brothers and sisters in Christ we're talking about, the persecuted Christians in different parts of the world, in particular in Iraq and also in Syria, that area. Now, before we go any further, speaking of Christmas, I want to mention something to you, invite you to something at my parish. On December 2nd, we're going to have what's called Christmas on the Prairie. Christmas on the Prairie. It goes from 2 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon. It's an event that's indoor and outdoor. We have a beautiful prairie. You're going to walk through that prairie, and we have little campfires along the way and hot chocolate for you. And our children are going to do little skits about the real St. Nicholas. That's right, the real life of St. Nicholas. We have a heated tent where they have crafters from the prairie days, you know, people that make spin wool and make candles and so on. Then the highlight is going to be St. Nicholas himself will drive up the driveway on a horse-driven carriage. Yeah, a big white Clydesdale. I'm going to be pulling a Charles Dickens-era carriage, and St. Nicholas will be in that carriage. He's going to give rides to the children and give them little treats. So that's from 2 to 6 on Saturday, December 2nd, at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois. If you want more information, go to our website, ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. Hope to see you there. The event is free. It's not a fundraiser. Just a nice, beautiful family event where we share the riches of our spirituality when it comes to this Christmas time, in particular St. Nicholas, the real St. Nicholas. We're all about what's real here. That's what Winds of Change is. It's allow the wind of the Spirit, the truth, to come in and replace all of the nonsense that we're faced with and indoctrinated with. And we're getting real about the people who are suffering. And we have our special guest today, Jolana Tomirazi from the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. Before the break, she was telling us about the suffering of Christians in the Middle East, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the sufferings on the physical, spiritual, and psychological level. And I want to make a point here that we have to understand. The sufferings of a people continue on through generations, the effects of that. As Jolana said herself, she knows that from she has a kind of a generational kind of suffering in her own family. And when there is this kind of suffering, such as people who are living in refugee camps without availability for proper medicine and food, and also for education, you're going to have a generation of people that are going to be displaced and undeveloped on many levels of their being, physical, psychological, spiritual. You may be familiar with the horrible, horrible gang that President Trump, I know, has tried to target to clean up. It's called MS-13. That's a gang that came out of El Salvador. Now, this is a perfect example of what I mean. El Salvador was a very civil war-laden country for a number of years. Lots of fighting there. So when you have fighting like that, you have wars just like in Iraq and Syria. You have people growing up without their parents, without their fathers. They have post-traumatic stress disorder. They've been traumatized. They don't have the right education, so they grow up being ill-equipped for life. So they're vulnerable to them becoming, well, whatever they can become. And that would be, like, for instance, in this case, a thug, a gang member. Well, fortunately, one of the things that's helping the Christians in the Middle East is their faith. But as you heard Juliana say, they're nonetheless depressed in many ways. The men, they've lost their fathers. They've been traumatized. They feel like they haven't defended, and they've let their families, their countries down because they were overrun by ISIS and others. So there is a generational effect that will come from that in whatever way. Hopefully it won't be like MS-13, gangs and something like that, but it's definitely going to be something. And so the world, this is a humanitarian disaster. And this is why we have to be conscious of this now. And there's something you can do. And Juliana, explain to listeners what it is that you do, what you're about, and what you want them to help with.
We have been in existence since 2007.
This is the Iraqi Christian Relief Council.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I met with late Cardinal George, and he encouraged me, he and the Archdiocese encouraged me to start this organization to raise awareness about who we are as Christians mm-hmm. of the middle of Iraq. And ever since then, we've been traveling throughout the country and really throughout the world to raise funds, to educate people about our cause and really paint a human face on this tragic situation. Because as you know, this has been going on since 2003 in the modern history. What we do is we raise funds. And because we're a smaller organization with very strong connections on the ground, we send the funds to such organizations as Dominican Sisters of St. Catherine of Siena mm-hmm. Or Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq. And they translate the money that we send to services. For example, we send money for food, and they divide food parcels for a family of 4 to 5, and they distribute them. And in turn, we get the names of people that have been aided. We get the number of how many people per family, where they're located, even their contact information I receive. And in the past, we have contacted to confirm that the family has received the aid that our partner organizations have told us they have distributed. So transparency is there. We are a 501c3 here in this country. What we need right now is, what we're doing is we're raising funds for food and for kerosene, for warmth. Because as you know, northern Iraq is extremely cold. Their winter began about a month ago. Rainy season first, and then it goes into winter. And it ends towards the end of February, March. But in the meantime, these people who live in these unbearable conditions, in these small spaces, in these apartments that they still need to have warmth, or in those towns that have been liberated from ISIS, that they have returned, there are about 25,000 that have returned to the Nineveh Plain. You mentioned the Nineveh Plain. Nineveh Plain is an area that is outside Mosul. It is really the ancestral homeland of the Assyrians. So people have returned to their destroyed homes, and my organization not only provides immediate relief, such as food and aid for medicine, but also we have helped rebuild some of these partially destroyed homes. And each home costs about $2,500 to rebuild it. And we receive videos of the actual work and pictures of the progress and the final result. Also, we receive videos of people's testimonies mentioning us by name and that how this organization has helped them rebuild their homes. The purpose of this is not just to give back their home to them that had been destroyed, but to help them rebuild their lives, rebuild their mm-hmm. communities. So, Father, you are such a powerful speaker, and you've been really, you were the first one who gave us our start in this cause, from donation perspective and from the radio perspective. So when your listeners, when our listeners right now are hearing you and hearing me through the waves, through the airwaves, I really pray that the Holy Spirit would allow our voice, our message, we're voice for those voiceless, will penetrate their hearts, your hearts, our dear listeners, during this Christmas season, during this Thanksgiving season. I plead with you as you gather around your table on Thursday for Thanksgiving to pray for what you have in gratitude, but also mm-hmm. pray for those that have nothing, that have yes. lost everything just for their faith in Jesus. and make financial sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Give to those trusted organizations and be very careful with who you give. But victimsofisis.org gives you that opportunity to really get involved. Our website, again, is victimsofisis.org or iraqichristianrelief.org.
And I want to reassure the listeners, just as Juliana is saying this, that I've known Juliana for a while now. I've known her work, and it's very trustworthy. There isn't any bureaucracy. The money goes directly to the people, the aid. I don't even say it, call it money. It's really aid, the aid. The money buys the aid. The money buys toilet paper for these people. Can you imagine that? Imagine these people won't have simple, you know, sanitary things for women, right? Babies, diapers, things like that. Imagine not even having that. Heat in your home, food. So this is what the money goes to. It aids them. And as you heard her say, the Dominican sisters, I mean, what could be more trustworthy than that? So you can go to iraqichristianrelief.org or victimsofisis.org. That's pretty direct. That's pretty easy to remember, Jolene. Victimsofisis.org. And offer, give, focus as you die to self, as you fast, as you pray, as you focus on charity. Why not let this be your adopted charity for this year, maybe even forever, but or long as it's needed, that is. But why not? Consider this. iraqichristianreliefcouncil.org or ISIS, Victims of ISIS, victimsofisis.org. Juliana, it's amazing, too, that when someone donates from here, that money, like $50, is not like $50 here. $50 is going to buy you a lot more there, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, one of your colleagues, somebody that you've had on before, on, I believe, Light of the East and in your church, Jeff Gardner, used to always say to us when he first went to Iraq, he was amazed how the Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq turns the $1 into $5. Mm. He was amazed at what he saw these people doing. And it's true, we saw the same thing. And it's amazing how the administrative cost is so low and the work that they do, mm-hmm. we've been able to, like I said, we've been able to build homes there through the generosity of our listeners and our supporters. We've been able to dig wells for clean water. The cancer patients, I'm so grateful to say we've had quite a few that are going through remission because of the work that we're doing. So it is a clean slate, Father. Mm-hmm. There's so much need, from basic toilet paper, as you said, baby diapers, basic clothing for men and women and children, to building a home. And the donors, we're looking for partners. We're looking for churches to come along our side. We're looking for business, Christian business owners. There's so many Catholic business owners out there that if you're listening, if you're hearing this program, I plead with you to contact us via iraqichristianrelief.org and let's have a conversation. Let's see if we can offer you an opportunity to adopt a project, whether it's feeding people, whether it's clothing them, whether it's digging a well for clean water, to putting a roof over these people's head. And everything is going to, I guarantee you, your family will be blessed 10 times over.
When we return, I'm going to talk more with our special guest, Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. Talk more about becoming truly more charitable during this truly Christmas season. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I am Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Our special guest is Juliana Tamarazzi, who is a recent recipient of the Bulldog Award from Michelle Malkin, who is a very noted journalist, TV news personality. But Juliana is deserving of many kinds of awards for her work in the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, where she does charity. She brings aid to people, Christians especially, not just Christians, but mostly Christians, who are so much in need, people like you and I. And this is what I'm inviting you today to focus on during this Advent season. Make this the focus of your charity, because that's what we're supposed to grow in during this Advent season and this time of Christmas. That's what it's about. It's about becoming people of greater charity who think of others, die to ourselves and think of others. Juliana, tell us a little bit more about how people can help. There's some specific ways that you might suggest too.
Father, we have been placed on this earth to be servants of His and serving His children. So thank you for your opening words. I appreciate that, but I'm just a servant. There are ways, there are many ways that one can offer their assistance. If you're unable to make financial sacrifices, if you can take our message to your church pastors, to your priests, please do so. Please encourage them to invite us for us to come over and really paint a human face on this tragedy. The other way that is much, much needed is if you go to our website, iraqichristianrelief.org or victimsofisis.org. There are different levels that you can donate through different projects. But especially if you choose to be a monthly donor, that would be extremely important, because as $10, $25, $50 a month really don't make a huge difference in our lives here in the U.S. for most of us, it makes a big deal. It really changes people's lives. And I'll tell you a quick story, Father. I don't know if I've said this on the air before, but my mother, who was born in Russia, because her father escaped Iran on foot, escaping Turks and Kurds. As you know, 8 members of my family came under persecution, or they were killed, they were martyred, 8 members within the last 120 years. So my grandfather, along with his father, escaped on foot to Russia. And this is how my mother was born in Russia. So when she was growing up in Iran, when she was 7 years old, an American priest came and picked her out of a lineup and provided help for her education from that age until high school. And I believe that priest, because of what he did for my mom and how she raised us and how she instilled the love of service and education in our hearts, that priest from 80 years ago has affected hundreds of thousands of people through my ministry, the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, which truly is, it's Christ-centered. And last year, we served 110,000 Christians in the Middle East and throughout the Middle East, in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Iraq, and Turkey. The prior year, there were 155,000 that we assisted. So I would love to partner with you out there. You can give towards food. You can give towards rebuilding their homes. You can, in fact, churches can adopt churches to rebuild these churches. But that's a huge, huge project, mm-hmm. but very much worthy of this. And in many cases, if the donors want to have a conversation with those recipients or the beneficiaries, we can even do that. We even have Skype calls. Or different, we have different avenues that we can connect people, donors, to those who have benefited from this aid. So it's been a tough journey of 11 years of this service, but I wouldn't change anything because I've seen miracles on this path.
And you just said something very, very significant. Well, I said a lot of significant things, Juliana, but one thing in particular that really gives it a brilliant insight into how our faith works and how we don't know all that the effects of our actions will be. Only God knows. And sometimes we get some little glimpse. Maybe in heaven we'll get the full picture. But just like you said, here this priest did this one action, pulled your mother out of a lineup, right? And here, because of that, how many years ago, there are people whom have come long after him. I'm sure he's gone now, right?
Yes.
He's passed on. But people who he didn't even know, it would come generations later, are being helped through you, but because of him, what he did to your mother, and how like all that gets passed down. So just as we said before, how the bad, our woundedness can get passed down generationally, so too, and more so, can our good. And that's why to do good always is, you never know what the multiplication of that good is going to be. Only God knows. So just do good. As we're asking all of you listening, do this good during Christmas time. Put some of your money away. Do you have to buy that thing at the mall? Does that person really need that physical material gift? Is it really that important that you can't instead put that money aside and put it towards people who truly, truly are in need? You know, why don't you do it as a family? You know, why don't you try something? Now, what I'm asking you, I know, it sounds very difficult. It sounds like I'm coming from some strange place. But I just want you to think about something. And I want you to try and imagine what you'll feel like after you do this. What if, and this is winds of change, so I'm going to blow some fresh air in here. What if you allow winds to blow into your experience of Christmas this year and really do it differently? I mean, really different. Be very, very, very simple about it, very modest about it, and make the focus something like this charity, that you were, instead of buying all these presents for everybody, you're going, sure, that's nice, they appreciate it, but why not as a family? See, in this household, we're really, really, really going to do Christ. You know, Christ himself was born in poverty. We hear about the beautiful story of the shepherds. You know, they were poor. They represented the poor. Christ was born in humble situations. He was born in you know what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough for a cow. Can you imagine that? Well, there are people who are living like that now in the lands where Christ came and laid in a manger in a cow's feeding trough. Why not make your Christmas as a family be all about that? Now, I know that sounds so bizarre and so different, but you know what? If you try it, I'm going to ask you to see how you feel after Christmas. See how this makes you feel. See what this does for your family. I mean, to really, really immerse yourself in the Christ event. I don't think we understand how far removed we are from what Christmas, and I don't even like to use that word. It's been co-opted, unfortunately, like everything else. I'm going to say the incarnation, the divine condescension, if you say in my church, the kenosis, the self-emptying of God, the humiliation, the self-humiliation of God. I don't think we understand Christmas in that term, in those terms. And yet that's the reality, that God would so impoverish himself as to identify with the least, the poor, the needy, the sinners, those in need of healing. this is a God who is the creator of everything, who becomes his own creation while still remaining his God. He remains as God. He becomes what he was not while remaining who he is. This is an incomprehensible act of deferential love. Notice I've said these things and I haven't used the word Christmas. As soon as I bring that word in, it kind of banalizes the whole thing, doesn't it? It's too bad because Christmas means Christ's birth. But what do we normally associate it with? A holiday. Celebrating, eating, indulging, buying, shopping, getting aggravated and tired. It's not what it is. You have to extract, I'm asking you to extract yourself from the world right now, certainly from our culture, and live in a bubble. That's right. Live in the incarnational, the Christ event bubble, in which inside that bubble, it's all about peace, dying to self, humility, deferential love, and thinking of others. And this is one way to do that, is to think of these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who in their numbers are legion. People like you and me, as Juliana said, who overnight have nothing. Think of them. Make this your Christmas. Make this your immersion into what this is really all about. You have to have a Christmas within a Christmas. That's why I say make it like a bubble. It's one time I'll say live in a bubble. In one sense, we're not supposed to live in bubbles, but now we have to. We have to extract ourselves out from this phony, artificial celebration, observance that we call Christmas in our culture. It's been completely co-opted. Yeah, okay, I like carols and decorations and the spirit. That's okay. It's like the crumbs of a loaf of bread. Wouldn't you rather have the loaf of bread? Why do we make the crumbs the whole point? I mean, crumbs of a bread are okay. I like to lick crumbs, you know, but you want the bread. Make the bread your Christmas. Make this act of charity for these people. IraqiChristianRelief.org or VictimsOfISIS.org. Donate. Give to them. Instead of buying yet another iPod or something, why not put that money towards this? And see how you feel. But knowing that, what I want you to do is I want you to look at your household and your family. I want you to think of the Holy Family. I want you to think of what their life was like. You're a fly in the wall of the Holy Family. What is a day in the Holy Family like? What would that be like? I mean, really, really get detailed about it. Then I want you to think about your own household. I want you to compare the two. And I want you to do one more thing. Try to match the two up. Match them together. That'll be your Christmas. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Juliana, for being here. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
words that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long, can you see?